Father, that the enemy so violently tries to rip that relationship apart. But Father, you have given us this fellowship here and others like it in other places. Father, would you bolden and strengthen, and may we see others come to know you. Father, please.
When darkness sings, when he shall come,
don't let our focus be off of you. And Lord, if it is, would you realign it this evening, Father? Would you prepare us? Would you guide us by your Holy Spirit as we listen, Lord, to your voice and your word? Father, the gift you have given us, the gift to share with others, we love you, Lord. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Say hey to everybody.
Hey, and tell Hazel happy birthday.
Happy birthday, dear.
One.
Good evening.
There I am. I'm here. You're here. We're all here. Does everyone have a Bible? Paper, plastic? I don't think they've invented any other way yet that I'm aware of. So welcome to Outpost Calvary Chapel. We are going to be in Ezekiel 13 this evening. Last week, we were in Ezekiel 12, right? Title of it was Hobo We Go. What we have seen is that Israel, through the prophets, this one being Ezekiel and we're in now, has been warned for half a decade to repent, to turn, to follow the word of the Lord. And they have been resistant to doing so. So we see that the word would no longer be delayed, because what the false prophets were doing at this time was giving a false hope. They were saying, no, dude, we are God's people. They were leaving God out of the equation, but they were saying, we will overcome the Babylonians. Don't worry, those of you that have gone into exile, it will not be long before you are free. But Ezekiel reminds them that God keeps his word, and it's always according to his time. See, we always want things now, right? I was in the line at Wendy's in a hurry to get here, and it was like the longest, not even 5 minutes of my life. But these people have been hearing this word spoken to them for like 40 plus years, half a century. They've been hearing that they need to turn or suffer the consequences. But like we read in 2 Peter 3:9 last week, that God is not slack. He does not delay. See, from our perspective, that delay is really just his long suffering, because he wants all to have a relationship with him. When you really think of that, we worship a God, the creator of everything, the universe, that single spoken sentence, everything that we can see and everything we cannot see that we keep on discovering. This creator wants to have a relationship with every single person. See, there's some of us that would probably be glad that Christ didn't return 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or maybe it was last week. See, he gives that time. The people here have heard the word of the Lord, and instead of listening to the word of the Lord, they have chosen to listen to a false hope by false, foolish prophets. They are now going to experience the word of the Lord, which here is going to be the wrath of the Lord. Their facade, right? If you know how to pronounce that word, facade, and hopefully I spelt it right. But that face, right? They were putting on a fake face. How many of you guys, I mean, now that we have like computer technology, it's a lot different, but we have a slide of like an older movie set. When I think of facade, even though it means the face of a building, this is what I think of, right? Depending on your perspective, it looks like a real joke shop, Pete's Joke Shop. But if you were to walk in there, you would find that there was no substance, there was no depth. I mean, this structure cannot stand up to any kind of storm. And what we're going to see here is that Ezekiel's telling them, and 13 is saying, dude, you guys are just putting on a fake face. This is not pleasing to the Lord. And everything you have built, he is going to tear down. So, Father God, we thank you for this night, Lord, to assemble together freely. Lord, would you just bless this time of study and as we break out in time of prayer and fellowship. Father, we can't thank you enough. May your praise always be on our lips. Amen. So Ezekiel 13, woe to foolish prophets. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say that those who prophesy out of their own heart hear the word of the Lord. So thus says the Lord God, woe to you, foolish prophets, who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. So think about that for a second. What do you think that means? Some of the translations in your Bibles may say jackals in the ruins. If you were to look at a picture of a fox next to a jackal, they're very close, right? Desert ruins. It gives this same idea of what's going on here. See, foxes, well, how do we portray them? We portray them as crafty, right? Mischievous. Sneaky. They're destructive too, right? I mean, any of you have ever had chickens or cats or other small animals that go missing? And there's probably like a fox den underneath your porch or something. They're also seen as like cowardly, right? They're always sneaking under the cover of night. They're cruel. They're greedy. The idea here is that these false prophets are like the animals that hide among the ruins because they help nothing, they add nothing, and they delight in destruction. See, they lacked courage. Because unlike a trained soldier who will courageously rush into the gaps of the battlefield, these prophets here didn't have the courage to stand and strengthen Israel in its time of crisis. Instead, they tickled the people's ears. There were lots of false prophets at this time, some who have been exiled and some not yet. Their message was that of optimism, a positive message saying that they would overcome Babylon. But this was coming from their own inspiration. They hadn't seen or heard anything from the Lord. They weren't helping. They were putting on a facade, a fake face. So it looks legit from the front, right? What we're going to read here in verse 5 continues on. And that you have not gone up into the gaps and build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision? And have you not spoken false divination? You say the Lord says, but I have not spoken. So how do we spot false teachers? What would be a sign of it? Their fruit. Exactly, right? See, this day and age, just like in Ezekiel's time, truth becomes manipulated, right? Blurred. It gets twisted, and it can make it hard to recognize the truth. See, at the heart of it is an enemy who from like almost day one has taken God's word and manipulated it, right? He said that in order to deceive and to confuse and to lead astray. See, the enemy knows God's word. James 2, verse 19 tells us that they know God and they tremble, right? But just like the foxes, or we also refer to them as wolves, they're cowardly. They go after those who single themselves out, right? That's why it's so important as Christians to be in a fellowship, to have other brothers and sisters in Christ that can help strengthen us. They'll pick on the young, like young in faith, who maybe don't know quite as much. The weak or the sick, maybe those who have chosen to backslide by getting out of that fellowship. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 7. Hold your spot there in Ezekiel. Matthew 7, verse 15. You already answered it, but here it is in the word. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You're going to know them by their fruits. Do man gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire because it's good for nothing else. Verse 20. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. But I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the what? Rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for as it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Turn back into Ezekiel 13. So we see the parallel there of the false teachers, what to look for, what they do, that shaky foundation. We had already seen that facade that they had put up, that wall they had built. It looked pretty, but it really served no purpose. It could not stand against the storm. Verse 8. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God, My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel. Depart from me, I never knew you. Nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because indeed, they have seduced my people, saying, peace when there is no peace. And one builds a wall, and they plaster it with untempered mortar. Say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstones, shall fall, and the stormy wind shall tear it down. Surely when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, where is the mortar with which you plastered this? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstones in fury to consume it. I will break down the wall you have plastered with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst of it. You are going to know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered it with untempered mortar. And I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who plastered it. That is the prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord God. Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart. Prophesy against them and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for their heads of the people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? And will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live, by your lying to my people who will listen to lies? They listen to the lies because they're of the world, right? The world hears their own. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms by which you hunt souls there like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go and the souls you hunt like birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no longer be as prey in your hand. Then you shall know I am the Lord. The lies you have made, the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, you have strengthened the hands of the wicked so that he does not turn from his wicked ways to save his life. Therefore, you shall no longer envision futility nor practice divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand. And how does that end? And you shall know that I am the Lord. Tough stuff, right? See, we're at battle, right? And what are we at battle against? The answer is found in Ephesians 6, verse 2. We know that it's the powers of darkness. We see this wall, we see this imagery, this warlike scenario being played out here. For those of you that were here, we had just came through the time of Veterans Day, right? And through that whole weekend. And we saw the story of Staff Sergeant Travis Mills. This was a man who was brave and courageous and a leader of his men. And he was blown up by an IED, losing all of his limbs. He was a quadruple amputee. But he did not let that stop him. His motto was never give up, never quit. See, Travis Mills didn't do it by himself. He had his men of the 82nd Airborne Division that came alongside of him to tend to his wounds on the battlefield, and then it took many skilled men and women to come alongside him to help rehabilitate and walk down that never-ending road of recovery. His story is much like ours. In the Christian realm, when we're at battle, there's landmines everywhere. Those powers of darkness, we need to be on guard. We need to be equipped. We need to be prayered up, right? Fellowshipped up. Word up. Word up. See, with these resources, we can see through the deceptions of the enemy. We can be aware. Spiritual battle, it's tough. We grow tired and weary. We get distracted. And when we stop looking for ways that we can get tripped up, we can get blown up. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says this. Watch. That means look. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. See, God freely gives us his strength so we can stand strong every day. But it's a choice every day. And it is not his choice to leave us defenseless. Guys, we have to know the truth. See, just like a soldier has to go through basic training, right? We as Christians have to go through our basic training to learn the skills needed when we're at battle. See, we can tell the enemy, even when in disguise, because of their fruit. It's not just the money that they've made or the books that they have written or the following that they have. See, that's what the world equates. See, you've heard it said here that whether it's the Mounties in Canada or the federal agents here, they spend so much time studying our currency that they can tell a fake. They don't go out and study all the fakes out there. They study the real deal. So we as Christians need to know his word inside and out, Genesis to Revelation, and every book in between. Read it. Reread it. Every day. We surround ourselves with other believers. We pray. We read. We fellowship. So we know that we're not alone on that mission field that's covered with mines. We know the truth, guys. We have the truth. We stand together on the solid rock, which is who? Jesus Christ. He says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he also says that the truth will set us free. Therefore, a relationship with Jesus Christ sets you free from whatever affliction it is you're dealing with. Parting message, 2 Chronicles 15, verse 7. We need to be strong, not give up, for our work will be rewarded. Amen? So, Father God, please, would you guide our dialogue tonight in our small group?